Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International and you are listening to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A hearty welcome to all our listeners this beautiful morning. Alhamdulillah. We make shukr to Allah for all that He has blessed us with. Good weather, good health, good spouses, good children, peace of mind and so on. Now if only we can sit down for a few minutes and we reflect on our lives, we will realize that we have so much to be thankful for, even if we are experiencing some kind of adversity or the other in our lives. Now one way of removing distress or pain is by having true faith, true belief, true trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, when we believe that He will never put a burden on us that we cannot handle. Allah is most kind and Allah is most merciful. Now, having said that, just to give you a brief update as to what to expect for the rest of this hour, inshallah. As usual, first up is the Ideal Muslimah. It's our Monday morning focus. And today we're focusing on a Muslim woman is compassionate and merciful. And that will be followed by our next slot. We will then be crossing over to KwaZulu-Natal. And alhamdulillah, it gives me great pleasure to announce that our guest will be back again, Mulana Mohammed Winker. And today our discussion will be focused on the Islamic perspective on depression. We hope to just talk a little about depression, and on how to deal with stress, and of course some of the du'as that one can actually recite when one feels depressed. So I hope you are looking forward to this chat that we will be having. Also remember that our lines will be open if any of our listeners would like to ask any question or contribute in some way or the other, then please feel free to call us on the number 011-854-1548. That's our studio number. And of course you can also SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-84-92786. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A Muslim woman is supposed to be very compassionate and very merciful. These are characteristics that are supposed to be within us. The Muslim woman who truly understands the teachings of Islam is compassionate and merciful. She will have compassion in her and she will be merciful simply because she understands that compassion of people on earth will cause the mercy of heaven to be showered upon her. Compassion towards people will certainly cause the mercy of heaven to be showered upon her. She also knows that when she does not show compassion towards others, she certainly will not receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the mercy of Allah is not withheld except from the one who is lost and doomed. So those that do not have compassion in them, mercy in them, then those people are lost and doomed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, have compassion on those who are on earth, so that the one who is in the heaven will have mercy on you, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on you. If you have compassion and mercy on people around you, people on this earth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also have love and mercy on you. Whoever shows not compassion to people, if you don't show compassion to people, Allah will not show mercy on you. And compassion is not taken away except from the one who is doomed. So if you don't have compassion in you, then you are actually certainly doomed. So this is something that we are supposed to be, as a Muslim, this is supposed to be within us. So if we call ourselves Muslims, then we need to have these qualities within ourselves. I'm not saying you're not a Muslim if you don't have it, but to remember that these are qualities that as Muslims we should possess. The true Muslim woman does not limit her compassion only to her family, her children, relatives and friends. So sometimes that's where we make our mistake, you know. We only think of the immediate people, people that are connected to us, our family members, our children, our parents, our relatives and our friends, and we only, our lives just revolves around them. But no, as a Muslim woman, we need to extend it to include all people. So everybody needs to be included where our compassion is concerned. Muslim and non-Muslim, whether they are related to us or not, you know, we need to, if a beggar, anybody for that matter, comes to your home, you need, not only to your home, but, you know, you think of every person out there, not only a beggar, even a person that is in need. If you cannot show compassion to that person or mercy towards this person, then remember, we are doomed. You will not believe until you have compassion towards one another. And the people said, O Messenger of Allah, all of us are compassionate. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not the compassion of any one of you towards his friend, but it is compassion towards all people and compassion towards common folk. So everybody, you know, we should be compassionate to everybody on this earth. This is comprehensive, all-embracing compassion which Allah has evoked in the hearts of Muslim men and women and made one of their distinguishing characteristics. This is what distinguishes us from others. So our compassion, alhamdulillah, you know, we do see a Muslim, you know, we see out there how Muslims are so compassionate and so merciful towards people. But this is just a reminder to us that this is supposed to be our distinguishing characteristic. A Muslim, you know, even if a person looks at you, they need to see that compassion in you. They need to see that mercy in you, that love and mercy that you give to others. So that the Muslim community, men and women, rich and poor, all of its members may become an integrated, caring community filled with compassion, brotherly love, and true affection. So if we have this characteristic of compassion, then obviously, you know, every Muslim has it, every community will be blessed with it as well. The Prophet ﷺ was a brilliant example of sincere compassion. Yes, we just have to look at the life of our beloved Rasulullah ﷺ and we can be inspired by him, inshallah. If he heard a child crying when he was leading the salah, when he was leading his people in salah, he would shorten his prayer. He would actually shorten his prayer out of consideration for who? The mother's feelings and a concern for her child. And this comes from Bukhari and it is reported by Anas radiallahu anhu and from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even if our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform his salah when he was in praying, when he was reading his salah, and he would hear a child crying, he would actually shorten his salah. Why? Because he didn't want that mother to be concerned about a baby or, you know, worrying, you know, why is my child crying? So he would shorten his salah for the sake of that child and that mother. I commenced the prayer and I intended to make it long, but I heard when Anas radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about it, and he said that I intended to make a long salah. I did want to read a long salah, but I heard this child crying, so I cut my prayer short because of the stress I knew his mother would be feeling. That was the kind of compassion that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had within him. Another example is a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked, do you kiss your sons? For we do not kiss them. And what is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him? He said, what can I do for you when Allah has removed compassion from your heart? So if Allah has taken that kind of compassion out of your heart, then there's nothing even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could do for him. So that is, you know, it is so important. Our compassion should be for all, for everyone out there. Our family, obviously, it is there most of the time, but for others as well. What about our little children? You know, we need to be so loving, so caring, so compassionate, have so much of mercy on these little ones. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, he used to kiss Al-Hasan ibn Ali when Al-Aqra ibn Habis Al-Tamimi was sitting with him. And Al-Aqra would say, I have 10 children and I've never kissed any of them. And the Prophet ﷺ looked at him and he said, the one who does not show compassion will not be shown mercy. Who won't be giving you that mercy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember, if you don't have any compassion in your heart towards others, if you don't have it within you, then you are doomed. Then even Allah ta'ala doesn't have mercy on you. And is that what we want? No, definitely not. Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to appoint a man to some position of authority over the Muslims, but when he heard him say something like what Al-Aqra ibn Habis had said, and that was that he did not kiss his children, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu changed his mind about appointing him, and he said, if your heart does not beat with compassion towards your own children, how will you be merciful towards the people? How will you show mercy towards people if you cannot kiss your own children? If you cannot show compassion and mercy towards your own children, how can you show compassion, mercy to other people, to people that you don't even know? By Allah, I will never appoint you. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu never appointed him. Instead, he tore up the document that he had prepared concerning the man's appointment. That's not all. The Prophet ﷺ extended the feeling of mercy in the hearts of Muslim men and women to cover animals as well as human. So compassion doesn't only stop where human beings are concerned. It extends towards animals as well. This is reflected in a number of Sahih ahadith, that is authentic hadith, such as the one that is reported by Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a man was walking along the road when he felt very thirsty. He saw a well, so he went down into it. Because he didn't have any container, he went down into the well, he drank his fill, and he came out. And when he came out, he saw a dog panting and biting the dust with thirst. And then he said, this dog's thirst is as severe as mine was. You know, he just thought, well, this dog is as thirsty as I was. So what he did, he went back down into the well. He filled his shoes. He did not have a container, so he filled his shoes with water, held them into his mouth while he tried to climb out, and he gave the dog water. For this, Allah thanked him, and he forgave him. And it was asked, O Messenger of Allah, will we be rewarded for kindness towards animal? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously replied, in every living creature there is reward. So any living creature, whether it is human or animal, if we show mercy and compassion towards them, then Allah shows mercy towards us. Another example, or another hadith, is narrated by Umar radiallahu anhu, when he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a woman was punished because of a cat which she locked up until he died of starvation. So yes, we have so many cats running around our homes, and we get so irritated with our cats, all these wild cats around, but they come to our doors and we just get so irritated and we want to chase them out. We're all guilty of that. But remember, when this woman punished a cat by locking it up until it died, obviously, for this she was thrown into hell. it is said that, and Allah knows best, of course, you did not feed her or give her water when you locked her up, neither did you let her roam free so that she could eat of the vermin of the earth. So, you know, she didn't even feed, although she had locked the cat up, but she didn't even feed that cat or give the cat some water, or food for that matter. And for that, she was actually thrown into Jahannam. The Prophet ﷺ reached such heights of mercy that once, when he and his companions stopped in some place, a bird appeared above his head as if it were seeking his help and complaining to him of the wrongdoing of a man who had taken her egg. And when Rasulullah ﷺ heard this, this bird was actually flying around. That's the kind of person Rasulullah ﷺ was. And that's the amount of love and compassion he had for both men and animals. So that this bird was actually flying around him and complaining to Rasulullah ﷺ that this man had taken my egg. So Rasulullah ﷺ then ask, which of you has distressed her by taking her egg? Who has distressed this bird so much by taking her egg? And then a man replied and he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have taken it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, put it back out of mercy to her. Put it back. She's so distressed. Put it back out of mercy for her. The Prophet ﷺ wanted in this instance to instill a sense of all-encompassing mercy in the conscience of Muslims, men and women alike, so that they would become compassionate by nature, even to animals. Because whoever has the heart to be kind to animals will not be harsh towards his human brother. So, you know, this is something so important for us as Muslims to realize, is when these are things that we, compassion is a characteristic that we need to already instill in our children from a very, very young age. These are the ways that we can do it, you know, from a young age, teach our children to be compassionate to animals as well. They don't know, you know, children, when they are so young, are learning all the time, and it is us as elders to teach them the right thing. So from a young age, if we instill this characteristic of compassion in them, then inshallah, that will just stay with them for the rest of their lives. Rasulullah ﷺ used to teach us, he used to emphasize on it, he used to make sure that he does things so that we can learn from him. So we as parents need to teach our children by doing these the right things so that they can pick up, and these it can stay with them for the rest of their lives, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was full of compassion towards humans and animals alike. He never stopped encouraging compassion among people and sought to instill it deeply in the hearts of Muslim men and women, stating that it was the key to Allah's mercy, forgiveness and reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive those who were compassionate, even if they were sinners. So this is how important it is for us to instill these good characteristics into our children, deep into their hearts, so that it stays and it remains with them for the rest of their lives, inshallah. In Sahih Muslim, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a dog was walking around a well, almost dying of thirst, when a Jewish prostitute saw him, and she took off her shoe, brought water to him and gave him to drink. And for this act of hers, act of compassion that she had, she was forgiven. And, you know, she was forgiven for this deed. So, you know, it doesn't matter who we are or what we are or who the next person is. We need to be compassionate towards them. How great is the blessing of compassion and mercy for mankind. What beautiful attributes they are indeed. It is sufficient honor and status to know that the Lord of Glory and Majesty derived his own name from Rahma, mercy, compassion, and is called Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman. This is obviously the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah ta'ala fill the hearts of every Muslim with mercy and compassion, inshallah. Well, listeners, that's where I stop today. Inshallah, we will continue next week with another important point for us to remember. Coming up next, we'll be crossing over to KwaZulu-Natal, and our guest is Mulana Mohammed Venker. Today our discussion will focus on the Islamic perspective on depression. A reminder to our listeners that our lines will be open. If you have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548, and you can also WhatsApp, or you can SMS me on the number 082-84-92-786 with any of your questions or concerns. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. According to psychological studies, a considerable percentage of people alive today are subject to some kind of depression, even small children. So it is important to explore this issue in relation to being a better Muslim. Now, Islam aims to create balance in a Muslim's life by putting life matters into perspective, rearranging priorities accordingly, and harmonizing all circles of relationships between the individual and his inner and outer environments. Yes, people feel depressed or sad when this harmonious emotional and hormonal equilibrium is disturbed, in which case Islam steps in not to condemn the feeling, but to offer a solution for regaining psychological and mental balance. Joining me this morning, alhamdulillah, and after a very long time, is Mulana Mohammed Venker. Assalamu alaikum, Mulana. Jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, and to assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Well, jazakallahu khair. It's wonderful to have you back on the airs of Radio Islam.
Yes, it's a pleasure being back, alhamdulillah.
Okay, Mulana, just to start off, what is depression? And just what are some of the main reasons for Muslims to go into depression?
Okay, when you look at depression from an Islamic perspective, this is something that is affecting many, many people. And this is something that is not confined to, you know, perhaps poverty or sickness. You find a person who owns, who's living an affluent life. Allah has blessed this person with, you know, with health and wealth. And still this person goes through difficulties. We need to understand that depression is from the side of Allah. And the cure of depression is also from the side of Allah. Unfortunately, today, you know, we resort to measures. To cure depression, we are looking for prescriptions and the antidotes for depression in avenues that are, that are contrary to the teachings of Quran Kareem and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Well, many people are of the opinion that, you know, a Muslim should actually not be able to be depressed. Is this true? Do Muslims, or can a Muslim be depressed?
Yes, absolutely. Once we understand that every condition that comes in my life is from the side of Allah, and Allah will not burden a person with a condition that he or she cannot handle. It's conditions and situations that we bring upon our own selves. And then if you look within the Quran Kareem, you look within the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are multitudes of examples. You know, when a person is going through some difficulty in life, then a person feels that I am the only one, you know, who is going through these challenges and difficulties. You know, whereas when we look around us, we find that there are people who are worse off than us. You know, we look in the world today, in countries like Syria, countries like Egypt, where people are going through, you know, abject poverty. People are going through great difficulties. So, you know, there's so much more that we can look forward to. I always say this, that do you judge Allah by what he has given you, or do you judge him by the one thing he has not given you? At times, if we analyze that, you know, what is putting us into the state of depression, it is things which are trivial and things which are rather, you know, insignificant.
Mm-hmm. So, like they say, you know, it's basically an illness that so many... Well, it can affect anybody and everybody. And as I mentioned earlier, also in children. So, Milena, why, you know, children, how can children be depressed?
Yes, with regards to depression in children, this is something in the recent past, you know, due to peer pressure. And at times it is, you know, it is as a result of the challenges that are put in their lives from the side of parents. You know, we find many, many children who, for whatever reason or the other, did not excel in the examination, and the parents put undue, you know, pressure on the child or on the children, and the children ultimately they go into a state of depression. So there are various factors, you know, when it comes to children, when it comes to the elderly, you know, that brings a person or puts a person in, you know, in such a position. Here again, you know, we need to understand that every situation, every condition, you know, is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mulana, one of the things or one of the causes of depression is normally stress. So, you know, maybe Mulana can just explain to us what exactly is stress and how do we as Muslims in particular deal with this condition called stress or this cause for depression.
Yes, number one, you know, when we look at the aspect of stress, we find that in our lives, the busy lives that we are leading today, you know, every person goes through some stress or the other. But the what we need to ask ourselves is that how do we deal with situations? You know, how do we deal with a condition? A person is going through a stressful day. Do you come home and you vent your anger, you vent your frustration, you know, at the wife, at the children, at those who are close to you? So this is something that we need to understand, and this is something we need to analyze very, very carefully. You know, when it comes to stress, number one, we need to adopt measures, you know, to try and work with the stress. And number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us beautiful prescriptions, you know, in the ahadith. When a person is going through, you know, such situations, such difficulties, there are certain beautiful du'as, you know, that we can read. For example, just to share with you, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it is the cure for 99 ailments, the least of which is depression. The other dua that we learn is that after every salah, take your hands, place it on the forehead, your right hand, and read the dua. Allahumma adhib anni alhamma wal huzn. Oh Allah, remove grief, remove sorrow from my heart and my body. So these are prescriptions which are very, very effective, you know, in relieving difficulties for a person, you know, to work through, you know, the state of depression.
Of course, there's many other duas that we can go through and many of the prescriptions, but what are some, or rather let me come to this one question that I feel is very important too before we continue. Now, in a state of depression, Mulana, one of the thoughts or that a depressed person, you know, always or many a times would feel is wanting to die. Now, this is committing suicide. So what does Islam say about committing suicide, and how do one actually, you know, rid ourselves of these kinds of thoughts that come to mind?
Yes, very, very important is that here again, very beautiful guidelines have been given to us, you know, in the ahadith. Number one is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, never should you entertain the thought or use the word if only I did this, if only I did that, then this would not have happened. Whatever has happened, it's water under the bridge, it's mud that has been spilled. So let us look forward. You know, do not try and revive the past, you know, the wrongs of the past, or perhaps something, if I would have done this, this would not have happened. What was meant to happen had already happened. Look at the way forward. So we find that, you know, when we look at depression today, you know, one of the downsides of it, it leads the person to, you know, many have committed suicide as a result of depression. So what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us? That when a person reaches a point in one's life where you don't want to live given the challenges or the difficulties that you are going through, then the maximum flexibility that there is in the matter is that you can read the following dua, that, oh Allah, keep me alive as long as it is good for me to be alive. And, oh Allah, if it is better for me to go, then you take me away from this world, oh Allah. Oh Allah, if it is good for me to be alive, then you keep me alive. Oh Allah, if it is better for me to go, then you take me away from this world. So these are, you know, this is a very powerful, a very, you know, a very beautiful prescription, because sometimes you reach a point in your life where everything around you, you know, yeah, you know, it has turned against you. Everything is falling apart, and you lose hope in life, and you lose hope in everything and everyone around you. So this is the dua. We need to understand Allah is there at all times. Allah is there for each and every person. So if you come to such a point, and we find when we look at in the Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Maryam alayhi salam.
Maulana, can we just hold that thought, and then we take our caller first. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, I think our caller has put down or may, but please do call back. We will take your call immediately. Maulana, you can continue. We were talking about
a little mention of an incident that is recorded in the Quran where Allah speaks about Maryam alayhi salam. What did she say at that time? You know, she was a woman who was very, very chaste, who was a chaste woman. And she feared the accusations that will be leveled against her. So what did she say? She said, if only I had died a long time ago and people had forgotten the fact that they had forgotten about me. Now, the ulama have written that for a person to desire death under normal circumstances, it is not permissible. However, if a person fears that in relation to the challenges or the difficulties of this world, you know, the challenges have become too much, and a person feels that, you know what, it's too difficult for me to live, like I mentioned, the maximum flexibility, a person can make this dua to Allah, but nothing beyond that. You know, where many people feel that, you know what, if I take my own life, if I commit suicide, then that is the end of the problem. You have only exacerbated. You have only, you know, the problem is gone worse. You have not found a solution to the problem. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about, you know, this great crime. If a person commits suicide, if you look within the hadith, Nabi alayhi salam said that that person who kills himself with a metal object, on Qiyamah's day, that metal object will be given to him in his hand, and how he killed himself in this world, he will continue killing himself till the end of, till when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. You know, how many youngsters today, they commit suicide, they overdose themselves, you know, they put a gun to their head and they shoot themselves. They think that this is the solution, this is the end all and be all, you know, of the problems that I am facing in the world. Remember the condition, if you take your life in this world, that is not the end of the story. We believe in akhirah, we believe in accountability. You know, the question always arises, that whether a person, whether he commits suicide, whether he dies as a believer, he dies as a disbeliever, that is a topic on its own. You know, that unfortunately, you know, we find that, you know, of some person or the other who has perpetrated that crime, and we find those families, they are victimized, you know, they are shunned aside. This should not be the case. We do not know what challenges people go through in life.
Maulana, can we take our call? I think we've called us back again. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
How are you, sister? Ji, how are you?
Hello.
Ji.
Hello, alaikum salam.
Mm-hmm.
Then can I speak to the Maulana?
Yes, yes, please proceed.
Maulana, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
When I am very, there's a dua that you read, that when a person is...
Oh, God. I think we've lost our caller again. Perhaps our sister can call back again. Okay.
Yes.
Ji, Maulana, continue.
Yes, I think the sister was referring to when a person goes into... There, like I mentioned, there are many, many prescriptions that we learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the greatest prescription is dua. You know, if there is one person who can remove this depression, you know, and who can take a person out of these problems, it is not the wealth of this world, or it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we need to turn to Allah. You know, when it comes to the basics, when somebody is going through some challenges, some difficulties in life, then the greatest prescription is found within the Quran Kareem, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we know you feel depressed and people do not listen to your message. Allah has given the Nabi of Allah the perfect prescription, and there is no pharmacy in this world that can give you the prescription for depression but the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Allah tell the Nabi of Allah? That praise Allah, glorify Allah, and fall in sajda until death overtakes you. So we need to bring salah into our lives. We need to make the dhikr of Allah. We need to make the tilawat of the Quran Kareem. And we need to gain the proximity of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
Okay, Maulana, I think we've got our caller back online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. How are you, Malana? How are you, Appa?
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, Ji, Appa.
Appa, I got locked in depression for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Since my husband passed away, but now it's getting worse and worse because I'm all by myself.
Okay.
I make sikkar everything, every day. I sit and read
mm-hmm.
on the stoop alone. Every day I read.
Okay, Malana, would you like to comment?
Yes, sister, we understand, you know, the crisis and the difficulty that you are going through. And, you know, my advice to you is that do not become despondent in the mercy of Allah. You know, Allah has created life. Allah has created death. These are to test us. And in this life, you'll be faced with, you know, with challenges and difficulty. And, you know, one of the ways in which we can, eradicate these thoughts that generally cross our hearts and our minds, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that shaitan will continue to infiltrate and shaitan will put different thoughts and, different challenges and difficulties in front of us. So number one, we need to keep our trust and our reliance on Allah. Allah has created life. There will be challenges in life. There's no person in this world, you know, who does not have any challenges, who does not go through any difficulties. But it is how we deal with these challenges. So sister, do not become despondent. You know, just keep, inshallah, keep your hopes on Allah. Allah Ta'ala will, you know, Allah will open some avenue. Allah Ta'ala will remove this depression from you, inshallah. So continue reading your Quran, read your du'as, and continue reading your salah, inshallah. And just be positive. You know, we look around us today, like I mentioned in the beginning, there's so many people who are going through so much of difficulty, who are living lives which are worse off than us. You know, Allah has blessed us with so much of goodness. So inshallah, you know, let us look at the positive aspects. Let us look at all the bounties that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us. And inshallah, in that way, you know, when we look at those who are lesser off than us, those who are below us, you know, we have seen footage in Syria, in Egypt, in different parts of the world where people are going through great difficulty, where people don't have basic necessities. But on the other hand, Allah has given us so much. You know, let us make shukr for the bounties that Allah has given us. Then inshallah, you know, Allah Ta'ala will remove, you know, these challenges and these difficulties from our way.
Okay, I hope that helps.
But the food even.
No, we do understand, but inshallah, Allah will make it easy.
Ameen.
Jazakallah khair for your calls,
right.
Sister. Mulana, talking about that, is there another caller? Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Zinat, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Ji, how can we help you?
Ji, Sister Zinat, I have a dua for depression.
Ji.
Lakat ja'ukum.
Lakat ja'ukum.
Yes, dua for depression.
All right. Does it help?
Does it help you
a lot?
You must have your intention and it helps because my husband is not well. My daughter got cancer. And I make dua to Allah and then I really went into depression, very, very sick. But the dua helps. Lakajaukum, make your full intention.
Okay. Jazakallah khair for that.
Jazakallah, sister.
Mm-hmm.
The sister is referring to the last verse, second last verse of the of Surah At-Tawbah, which is in the 11 juz of the Quran Kareem, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. When Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed this verse of the Quran Kareem, to give the Nabi of Allah, to console the Nabi of Allah, you know, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he went through great difficulties, and to console the Nabi of Allah. So this is also another prescription, another wazifa, you know, that has been mentioned in Quran Kareem. So, you know, we can recite that also. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. And the end of the verse, فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. You know, Allah is sufficient for me. Whatever condition, you know, whether it is good and bad. And one of the elements, one of the articles of faith is, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. That every condition, good and bad, is from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala.
Okay, Maulana, we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Ji, we can.
Ji,
brother.
Maulana, about recently I lost a cousin. He was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went for a little operation and then he passed away. And I seem like I can't come to terms with his death. And it's about 2 months ago.
Ji.
And sort of in that period, when after passing away, I went through a bit of a depression. But somehow, you know, with the duas and zikr and all that, I'm sort of coming out of it. And the reason is that I was very close with him because of his honesty, sincerity, and he was a very gentle person. And we grew up together, and we schooled together, and everything we did together. And since then, our relationship has been intact. And then since he's been passing away, I've sort of seen a little bit withdrawn. I can't concentrate in my work and so forth. I wanted to find out how does one come to terms with this death? Because it seems I find a bit of difficulty in coming a complete a normal person again.
Okay, Mulana.
Gee, brother, you know, we understand, you know, what you are going through is that, you know, we need to understand that when a person passes away from this temporary life, a person is gone to the everlasting life of the year after. So where he, your brother, is now, you know, he's in a better place than when he was in this world. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when somebody used to pass away, how do we console someone? What he used to say, inna lillahi ma akhad, to Allah belongs what he took. And to Allah equally belongs what he gave you. Everything in this world has a stipulated time. Everything has a stipulated time. فَالْتَصْفِرْ وَالْتَحْتَسِفْ. Be patient and hope for reward by Allah. What did Nabi alayhi salam tell his daughter Zainab? That I'm not consoling you because I will not die. You know, this is the reality of life. In this dunya, a person will be faced with challenges, with difficulties. Either you would lose a beloved one, or either Allah will snatch and take away wealth from you. Allah will take away some bounty from you. You know, so these are challenges that we go through. But we need to understand, you know, brother, understand. And, you know, your brother, where he is now, he's in a better position. He's in a better condition than when he was in this world. So, inshallah, what you need to do is that whenever you go into some depression or you are a little down, at that time, what we need to do, make dua for your brother, inshallah. Make a lot of dua for him, and inshallah, in this way, you know, you will come out of the state of depression. We need to be strong, you know, end of the day. Every condition in this world is from the side of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah khair. I hope that helps, brother, inshallah. Okay, Mulana, just another dua that they always say one should read is Surah Al-Nas. How does this help?
Yes, with regards to Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, you know, these are known as the Al-Mu'awwadhatayn. You know, these surahs were revealed when there was black magic that was done upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah revealed these 11 verses of the Quran al-Kareem. And as the verses were revealed, the Nabi of Allah, you know, recited these verses, and he felt a sense of looseness, as though he was being released from shackles. So when a person goes into depression, you know, on a beautiful sunny day, everything is dull around you. So these are, like I mentioned, there are multitudes, there are many, many prescriptions in the Quran al-Kareem, in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So like the sister mentioned earlier on, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Some people find solace in reading the Al-Mu'awwadhatayn, the last surah, Surah Falaq and Surah Nas. Some people read certain du'as. So these are prescriptions, inshallah. You know, we should continue reading them, but we need to have yaqeen on these words. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the main thing. We need to have yaqeen on the words of Quran al-Kareem.
Okay, and just finally, Mulana, how important is support for a person, especially family support, for a person that is experiencing or going through this very difficult time in their lives?
Yes, this is something very, very important. You know, when somebody is going through a little difficulty, just to, you know, give somebody a lending ear. You heard that somebody met up in an accident, you know, the person is hospitalized, or you heard that somebody's child is not well. You know, just to phone the person and to morally support the person, to give that person that moral encouragement. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? If you give somebody that moral support, you give someone moral encouragement, that person will be in that sickness, that person will be in that difficulty, the Nabi of Allah said, because you had morally supported that person, you had given him some comfort or the other, Allah will give you the same reward that person is getting in sickness. Allah will give you that same reward. So, if you know of someone or the other who is going through some challenges, some difficulties, I mean, what will it cost us? Pick up the phone. You know, it might cost us one phone call. It might cost us 2 minutes. But just give that person some hope. Even though, you know, the person is terminally ill, doctors have given up hope. But just tell the person you're looking much better. You know, it's a matter of time before you recover, before you get better. You know, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by you giving the person the moral support, this will not prolong the person's life. It will not alter the reality, but it will bring joy to the heart of your brother, and that is enough, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Mawlana, once again, for a wonderful and informative program. And Jazakallah khair, we will get back to you again, inshallah, soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And that brings us to the end of this program. Stay tuned.